Hey, Jets fans. The time is finally upon us. It is draft week throughout the National Football League and here at One Jets Drive. To preview what's ahead, we had an opportunity to talk to NFL Network's draft guru, Daniel Jeremiah. Nobody knows the draft as well as DJ. And then also Joe Douglas, the Jets football architect, who will make the Jets selections next weekend, talk to the media here at One Jets Drive, and Caroline Hendershot talked to him. So we're going to, right now on the pod this week, talk to DJ, get his thoughts on the top prospects, and then Caroline is going to go take a deep dive with Joe Douglas on the Jets football architect's pre-draft process in the final days. The wait, it's almost over. DJ, let's start your analysis right now with a quarterback out of Appalachian State, Daniel Jeremiah. Give me the scouting report of that dude coming out.
Yeah, we're going to go with thin frame, durability concerns. There's been some injury history there. Decent athlete. You can run around a little bit, although he's not going to hold up if he plays that recklessly. Arm strength well below average. Time tends to be a little aggressive, doesn't have the arm to back that up, gets himself in some trouble that way. But a good kid. He's going to work hard, give you everything he's got. That's it.
I love it. So let's fast forward a couple of years to Daniel Jeremiah working in Baltimore with a young Joe Douglas. What was JD like during that time?
Yeah, I mean, Joe's, I don't know that he's changed much. You know, he's always kind of been the same guy, very comfortable in his own skin, well-liked by everybody. Worked really, really hard ever. I go back to just the days we played basketball together. So he's very competitive, but not going to say a lot. I'm going to just play real physical and tough. I don't know that you'll find anybody have a bad word to say about Joe. It's easy. He's an easy guy to like and an easy guy to root for.
Do you guys keep him at the low blocks? I mean, he's only 6'4", but he's got that wide body.
Yeah, he's an offensive rebounder, and then he's not going to take a lot of shots. But, you know, if you can get him the ball down low, he can back you up, throw his backside at you and flip one in every now and then. But he's more of a defensive rebounding guy on the court.
Okay. So speaking of rebounding, let's get to the meat and potatoes of it for the Jets at number 10 overall. What do you think about the landscape he is facing?
I'm fascinated by it. I think there's a couple different avenues you could look at there. You know, I did what I called my chaos mock draft the last time we did it out of semi-boredom.
You caused a lot of headlines with that one.
I did. I had some fun with that one. But I just thought, you know, if the Chargers want to move out, the Jets are all in, let's try and make a trade here where they can get up and get Marvin Harrison Jr. I don't think they'll be that bold in this draft with the limited picks that they have. I think if you're thinking of is there a chance the Jets move up at all? I think it would be maybe a little baby move just to get ahead of the Chicago Bears. If somehow Odunze was there at that point in time, I think he would make a lot of sense from that standpoint. But outside of that, if they stay where they are, I think you've got a decision coming down to, you know, Brock Bowers, the tight end, versus the top available offensive tackles. So that to me would kind of frame, you know, what direction they want to go and what they feel their need is there.
How unique of a draft is this at the top? Because on your top 50 overall prospects, you have three receivers going 2, 3, 4, and then they aforementioned Bowers 7.
Yeah, I mean, I've got them, you know, rated so highly, I don't think there's a lot of separation between those three wideouts. So we've got three of the top four players in the draft are wide receivers. I don't know that I've ever had that before. And they're all deserving of being up there. And then it's there's a drop off after those three guys, but then another wave of wide receivers, and it's a good class there. I don't know that I remember as offensive a heavy top of the draft as we have. I mean, literally, you can go through the top 10 and just use three positions and go, okay, we're just going to shop for quarterbacks, tackles and receivers, and we can fill out the entire top 10 of the draft, and you wouldn't be really a reach on anybody.
Most likely scenario for the Jets, though, you think Marvin Harrison and Malik Nabers gone by the time we get to 7-8-ish, because you've mentioned the possibility of, hey, if you are going to move up, maybe Rome Odunze is still on the board and Brock Bowers could still be there at 10, right?
Yeah, no, I would give Jets fans hope from this standpoint. I remember, the big draft, the Sauce Gardner draft, and thinking, okay, you've got Garrett Wilson and Sauce Gardner. Like, that's a tough one for me. I think that was like my third and fourth ranked players or something like that. And then I thought there's no way Garrett Wilson gets to them at that point in time after Sauce. And I'm like, holy crap, like that all just kind of, it all just worked out. It just all magically worked out. So I'm sitting there going, there's no way Rome gets there. He's the perfect fit. Like, if you ask me who is the perfect player to fit in with this group that they have, it would be him. Because Mike Williams can now, you don't have to rush him back. When he gets back, you have Garrett and Rome can play inside if you want them to. So you get some interchangeable parts there. And now you've got some real depth at that position, which you didn't have last year. So that to me is the home run pick. And I don't see that could happen, but I also didn't envision, you know, that draft went the way that it did. I didn't envision Breece Hall was going to be there in the second round. I didn't envision, that you'd get the best pass rusher in the draft down there in the 20s. It just, that one fell for him. So I'm not going to rule out the chance that maybe this is the second version of that. And somehow Odunze's there at 10.
If Rome's the home run pick, I'm going to put you on the spot because you love baseball. We know the Padres are your team. Give me the triple, the double, and the single for the Jets, because one thing that's caught my ear the way you've been talking about the tackles is you said you wake up every day feeling a little bit differently about each of the top five tackles.
Yeah, and not that I fall out of love with any of them, just I appreciate the strengths of different guys and what they do. Like a great example, if you told me that they got, you know, either Bowers as the tight end, or you said they got Fa'atanu from Washington, or they got Fuaga from Oregon State, I would be equally excited with any of those three picks. And they all are distinctly different guys with different strengths. To me, like Fa'atanu, with his ability to play basically any of the five positions, we all know the injury history the Jets have had on this offensive line. We know that they've added two 33-year-old tackles. Having a guy that can move around wherever you need him to, combined with Vera Tucker, who can move around wherever you need him to play, that provides you a tremendous, tremendous asset there. And then you talk about Fuaga, you know, who can play, you know, at right tackle, can play guard. There's some versatility there as well. I don't think he's quite as versatile as Fa'atanu, but again, somebody who, you know, he brings something specific to the table. So I think the Jets are in a great spot with what they need and the directions that they can go. Whether it's receiver, tight end, offensive line, I think they're in a great position to really help their offense here.
You've spoken about 11, 12, 13, that each of those teams could be interested in quarterbacks. Any possibility there, not for that slight move up, but a slight move back for the Jets?
Yeah, I would be all for it. You know, get some extra picks here, slide back a few spots. It is you have to be comfortable with several of these tackles, which I could talk myself into it. So, you're trying to convince the Raiders or the Broncos to get ahead of the Minnesota Vikings. You know, if you're the Jets and you're a Jets fan, you're hoping that you don't see the trade up for the quarterback too early there, because you could have some value to be able to move back. On the other side of that coin, if people are moving up for quarterbacks, maybe that's pushing down, you know, the Odunze scenario that falls into your lap. So you can look at this each way here. I just know whether they stay where they are, maybe slightly move up a little bit for one player or slightly move back. I think it's their position really, really well for what they need to get accomplished.
How much do you like the depth in this wide receiver class? Because if the Jets don't go wide out in round one, what options could be there on the board in three that would make a lot of sense for this team?
Yeah, I mean, everybody's going to have these guys in different order. For me, I'm a Malachi Corley fan. I like him a lot from Western Kentucky. He's great after the catch. Just so physical and so tough. I think that's probably the sweet spot of where he goes. Roman Wilson's another one out of Michigan who's got some real juice, some real speed, and can kind of play in there in the slot. So those would be a couple guys who would be intriguing to me. I think at the beginning of the process, you would have said Ricky Pearsall would be a great third round pick. I think he's run his way out of that. He's run his way into the second round. So I think he'll be long gone at that point in time.
Developmental quarterback, if the Jets go in that direction on day three, or some names that you like.
Yeah, Rattler's the one I would say would be the top one out of South Carolina. You know, there's obviously a lot of ability there as a big-time recruit going into Oklahoma. He got better at South Carolina the last couple of years. All the stuff you hear there has been positive in terms of the leadership, character, maturity, all that. So that would be the first one. And then I would say Leary would be the next one out of Kentucky, former NC State quarterback. I think there's something to work with there. But those would be the two guys. Pratt is the one that gets mentioned as kind of someone that's intriguing. So that would be the order that I would have him. I would have it Spencer Rattler. I would have it Leary, and then I'd have it Pratt.
DJ, where's the best depth going to be found there on day three in terms of value?
Yeah, I think corners. You know, I think there's, you know, corners. Look. If you just go in the seventh round and you haven't watched any of these players and just went up to the board and grabbed every 6 foot corner that ran low 4.4, just grab them and be like, okay, we're gonna get one of these guys, and they're lottery tickets, you know, just take those lottery tickets and every now and then you're gonna hit on one. Worst case scenario, you've got a practice squad kid you can work with and develop. But at that point in the draft, you're just gambling on traits.
Speaking of traits, how about the running back position? The Jets drafted Izzy Abanaconda last year. They have one of the best backs in the National Football League in Breece Hall. But if they're going to add to the stable there on day three, you got a pair of fourth round selections. Obviously,
I can give you a couple. I think there's, like, if you're looking for complementary pieces, there's a couple different ways you can go here. I really like Ray Davis as kind of a, you know, as a physical back. He's 5'8", he's 211 pounds, but he's runs really, really hard out of Kentucky. He would be kind of in that vein, in that mode. I like Isaac Garendo from Louisville. He ran his butt off. He ran the low 4.3s. I don't think he's the most elusive guy in the world, but he's got some size and some real speed, you know, to break away and do things there. My late one that I just watched the other day, who I really liked, was Blake Watson from Memphis. I mean, he's 5'9 and a half, 200 pounds. He ran 4.4 flat. He was an Old Dominion transfer. Who he's got tons of production at Memphis, running the ball, catching the ball. He's got explosives. He worked out well. Didn't get invited to the combine. I have no idea why. But to me, that's Memphis has been a running back factory, and this guy's got excellent production. So that to me is one that I had circled there on day three.
And you mentioned at the beginning of your conference call with the national media that bottom line, when you're looking at headlines for this draft, you said offense, offense, offense. So you think that, hey, when we're done in Detroit, April 27th, and you're on NFL Network, you're talking about that theme being the prevailing one coming out of the Motor City.
I think so. It is. It's a league with a lot of young quarterbacks right now, and it's a league that's going to welcome in a handful more in this draft. And I think you're going to see this draft as one to serve those young quarterbacks. And it's something that's a priority for these teams, and it just happens to be what the draft class has given us.
Let's end here. You've been calling the games of the Chargers. Mike Williams, what do the Jets have in this new receiver, and how excited are you to see him get paired up with the future Hall of Famer here in Aaron Rodgers?
Yeah, he is. Full honesty, in 6 years of doing the Chargers, there's not a player that I've been around that I enjoyed more than Mike Williams. Like I could put him right up there as my favorite. He is the best dude who everybody in the building is going to know and love, who's never had a bad day. So you start first of all with the person. He's an energy giver. Everybody's going to love being around him. As a player, he found ways in the big games the Chargers have been in the last 6 years, in big wins, he had a major part of it. He loves the big stage. He loves big moments. He's as good a 50-50 ball catch guy as I've ever been around. He's outstanding there and has kind of he has a little flair for the dramatic. So I think with the Jets, with Aaron Rodgers, with a lot on the line, New York, the attention, big games, prime time, I think this is kind of made for Mike Williams.
Joe, welcome into the studio. But first and foremost, there's a lot going on this week. Yeah. Aaron Rodgers and the guys are back for the offseason program, and the draft is next week. What's the most exciting time for you about this period of time?
Yeah, I think it ramps up once the players get back. Mm-hmm. You know, you see the smiling faces, you see the guys dapping each other up and having fun on the field, and you know, they're just, the energy changes, you know, and everything ramps up, and you know it's draft time shortly after that. So, but you know, we've had some great meetings leading up to this week, and a lot of hard work by our coaches, our scouts, analytics, football admin, everybody, operations, and it's really got us to this point where we're ready to attack this draft next week.
What is this pre-draft process like for you and your team?
It's hectic. It's busy. You know, we're allowed to bring 30 pre-draft visits in, players to visit, and we want to make that a comprehensive visit so these players can touch every department in our building and for every department to have an opinion on them. So that in and of itself, it's a cool process, and you get to know these guys, spend a little time with them, and along with the meetings that you have with the coaching staff, and then we get into our strategy meetings and we start going over every single scenario leading up to the draft. So it's busy, but it's fun. A lot of good discussions and getting to know the players and connect with them.
Now, you started your career as a scout. So what is this whole process like for the scouts, and how much work do they have to do going into this? Yeah.
So the process, this is their Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. You know, this is a scout Super Bowl, because you've been working for this moment ever since May of 2023. You flipped the page on last year's draft and you start working on this year's draft. And it's a consuming thing. You're crisscrossing the country. You know, you're gone 180 days out of the year. And you are talking so many different, every day's different. You're talking to different coaches every day. You're seeing how different programs are run every day, and you're getting such quality information. And then you have to have conviction on the guys that you really love and the guys you feel are going to come in here and stand for the right things and help the Jets win a Super Bowl. And so it's a really special day, special weekend for the scouts.
Now, I know the roster is never complete and you're about to add to it with the draft, but what do you think about your roster at this point in time?
Well, I think there's a lot of depth. And I think we have dynamic playmakers on both sides of the ball. So, and now it's just about coming together as a team and doing our thing. But I feel like we're in a good position to have great flexibility as we go through the weekend with the draft.
How did free agency impact how you're approaching the draft and your draft strategy?
Well, free agency definitely impacted, because what you don't want is a ton of glaring holes on your roster leading into the draft, so teams can lock in on you needing a specific position and trading in front of you to try to get someone that they might like that they think you're going to draft. So I feel like we're going into this draft without any glaring holes or weaknesses on the roster that teams might look to try to get in front of us for.
What do you like about the position of being at number 10 and then having 7 total picks?
Yeah, we're in a good position. I feel like we're ready for anything. You know, if a lot of quarterbacks go, you know, that's great. If not a lot of quarterbacks go, we're still gonna be just fine. And a lot of discussions that we've had over the last couple of weeks were, we want to make Thursday, Friday, Saturday just almost surgical. You know, just, we know what we're doing. We've had all these discussions. We've talked about every single scenario. Now we're letting the board fall to us and we're just executing.
How do you prepare for all of those different scenarios? What does that really look like for you and the team?
Yeah, we get in a room and we hash out every single scenario that can happen. And you know, these players are here. What are you doing? You're going to move up? Would you consider moving back? How far would you move back? So we have all these discussions leading up, and then, you know, we kind of create our game plan, and we have our list of guys, and we just go down the list, and it's just execute.
Now, you've put in so much work to get to this point. What happens in the final few days leading up to the draft? Is it pretty much nothing happens, or are you working up until that last second?
I think in terms of evaluations, pretty much the hay's in the barn. You're just working the last second, talking to teams about possible trade scenarios. You know, you're having conversations with agents. There's conversations, but in terms of the actual player evaluations, those are pretty much done. Now we're just talking about draft day scenarios.
Now, what do you think about having the last pick in the draft, Mr. Irrelevant,
yeah,
this year?
Yeah, I love it. I've never been part of a team that's had Mr. Irrelevant, mm-hmm. So I'm actually looking forward to it. And obviously, it's going to be a great opportunity to add a player that we think can help us long term. So I'm excited about that.
And lastly, why is the undrafted free agent process so important to you guys after the draft?
Oh yeah, I mean that really is the cherry on top. I mean, because that's where you really make your hay, is finding undrafted free agents that can make your team. I mean, that's a special thing. And you know, the last few years we've had our staff, our college scouting staff, our pro scouting staff, and our coaches have done a really good job of recruiting these guys here after the draft. And you know, we've had guys that come in and really help us, you know, Bryce Huff and Xavier Gibson and Jason Brownlee. So when you have a guy that's an undrafted free agent that makes your team, it's always a special thing.
Awesome, Joe. Yeah. Appreciate the time. Thanks. Thank you. Yeah.